1 Corinthians chapter 11, start reading here at the Lord's Supper in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, I do pray now You fill me with Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, You give me Your words, Your wisdom, Your guidance, Your boldness, and Your direction here tonight, Lord, as we look at this ordinance that You've given to the church, Lord. And let me help me to pull out the truth of Your word here tonight. And I pray, Lord, You do what only You can do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for what You do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we begin to prepare here to take the Lord's Supper, we just need to be aware of the significance of the Lord's Supper. Okay, the Lord's Supper is, like I said, one of the two ordinances that Jesus Christ gave to the church. The other is baptism. And we know that baptism is after salvation by immersion in water. But the Lord's Supper is a picture. Okay, it's a picture. The bread is the body of Jesus, broken for us on that cross, and what He went through on that cross. And the juice, the cup, the fruit of the vine pictures the very blood of Jesus Christ, right? The very blood of Jesus Christ shed for the remissions of sin. Jesus did not die as our example. He died as our Savior. Okay? What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ. He died as our Savior to save all of mankind. He paid the sin debt on that cross of Calvary. And it is through His sacrifice and shed blood that we can be saved. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." You see, that's where it's at. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ is that perfect sacrifice. He is the Son of God. He is holy. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is Savior. And without Him, we cannot be saved. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Now, the gospel message tells us how we are healed. He paid it all. He died on the cross. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. And we have redemption only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody, get this, nobody is saved by taking the Lord's Supper. Okay? Nobody is saved by taking the Lord's Supper. It's only through Jesus Christ. All power is in Jesus Christ, not the bread, not the juice. "This is My body, and this is My blood." It's figurative, okay? The Passover lamb was not Christ's flesh, but it pictured Jesus Christ in His flesh. That blood on the doorpost was not His blood, but it pictured the blood of Jesus Christ. It pictured the coming Messiah that would come, and through His blood we would have forgiveness of sin. So with that thought here, the significance of the Lord's Supper, why we should observe the Lord's Supper, what it is, let's look at it here from the Bible. First thing I want you to see that the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. Okay, it is a remembrance here in verse. I'm going to read a couple of verses here in verse 23 through 25. Here the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In verse 25, He says, "After the same manner, also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." So you see, the Lord's Supper is a remembrance time. It is a time of remembrance and time to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded His disciples here to do it for that reason, to remember. Why? Because a lot of times we can get busy in life, can't we? We can get sidetracked and oh yeah, we come to church every service, but a lot of times, you know, we go back out into the world and in our jobs and in our life, and we just put that to the back of our mind, right? We're saved. We're going to heaven. We've been saved for a good amount of time. And so a lot of times we just might forget about that, right? And so it's good to come together and to remember. And He tells us we need to remember this, okay? And what He means is we need to actively stir up our minds, okay? We need to actively, constantly be bringing this to our mind, to ponder on it. Ponder on it. To meditate on it, to meditate on the fact that He died on that cross for us, to meditate, to ponder. Now, as we partake of the bread and the cup, we remember Christ's body that was broken for us. He was beaten. He was nailed on the cross. Right? He did that for us. We need to remember that that blood that shed out of His blood, out of His body, was God's blood. It wasn't man blood, it was God blood. He's God, 100% God, 100% man, the perfect sacrifice. But His body the bread represents His body, and we need to remember that. And the bread that we use is unleavened bread, and it signifies His sinlessness. He is without sin. He has no sin, and that cup represents His blood, and we need to remember His shed blood for the remission of our sins, the cup. Okay? You get that? You know, when we read those verses, it said the cup. Right? It didn't say wine, did it? You won't find it wine. No, that's not in the King James Bible here. It's the cup. It is pure grape juice to signify its purity. You see, it's never called wine. It's called the fruit of the vine, the cup. Pure grape juice is the fruit of the vine. And the reason is because Jesus is perfect. Jesus is sinless. He is the Son of God. He is the perfect sacrifice. In 1 Peter 2:22, the Bible says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." See, man has perverted the Bibles, all these perversions of the Bibles, to include the word wine. Right? But God preserved it. God preserved it by the word cup. Okay, the word cup. He calls it cup, not wine. And besides that, isn't it, to me, it seems like it's common sense. You know, if you're talking about alcohol, alcohol is fermented, right? It means it's decayed. It means it's no good. It means it wouldn't represent a perfect, sinless Savior if it's decayed. So it just makes perfect sense to me. It makes common sense, right? Alcoholic wine, fermented, decayed. It's not pure fruit of the vine. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we just need to remember. It's a time of remembrance and a time to come together and remember the price that He paid. If you look there in verse 24, you see the word for. He says, "For you." Now that word "for you" there, it means it's a substitutionary nature of Jesus Christ. It means He died for you. It means He died for me. He died for us. He was our substitute. Okay, Isaiah 53:5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You see, He took on all our sins on that cross. A time of remembrance, okay? A time of what He did. And Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so when we come together in this time of remembrance, and we take the bread, we take the cup, we remember His suffering for us. I mean, think about, we talk about the love of God, but think about the love of God, that He would send His only begotten Son to this world with one reason and one reason only. And that reason was to take on the flesh of man and to take on all the sin debt of all mankind. And to see your Son on that cross, your only Son, on that cross, dying for the sin debt of the whole world. Right? That's love. God had to pour out His love in order to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me and to die for you. And so, when we remember that, that should stir up our hearts, shouldn't it? That should stir up our emotions. It should stir up our innermost being, our hearts, all right, to a deeper devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. It should draw us closer to Him. James 4:8. Draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you. But when I bring to remembrance those things that He went through, how He was mocked and beaten and cursed and nailed to a cross, it should draw me closer, right? John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Right? That's Jesus Christ. He laid down His life for us. And so partaking in the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance, of remembering what God paid the price for us. The Lord's Supper is not to be a time of fellowship, okay? It should be a time of coming together, remembering. It's a serious matter, okay? It's not a hula partying time. It is a serious time that we remember. Galatians 3:13, the Bible says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." We need to remember that He hung on that cross to free us from the curse of the law, to free us from our sin debt. You know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to remember that. And if you look there in verse 25, He says, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood." The New Testament, okay? The Old Testament was what? The lambs, the blood of the lambs. Right? The blood of that lamb, that blood of that perfect sacrifice there, it wasn't forgiving anybody's sin. All it was doing was pushing it forward to the cross. And that's why they had to constantly be sacrificing those lambs and shedding the blood of those lambs. But all the while, it was all a picture of Jesus Christ. All the way, all throughout the Old Testament, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. You go back into the very beginning of the book. I mean, you go back to Noah's Ark. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. You know, and you go back to the Passover. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. The whole Old Testament is the theme is Jesus Christ. It's showing us Jesus Christ is coming. He is going to redeem us from all of our sin. But that old covenant, it's saying now, hey, there's going to be a new covenant here. And the new covenant is going to be the blood of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not the shed blood of those sacrificed lambs and animals. No, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." Now, this verse is an important verse, okay? His blood, Jesus Christ's blood. But if you don't have a King James Bible, they took the word blood out. Just says through Him, right? But you got to have a King James Bible because the blood is significant. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. If Jesus just died, there's no forgiveness of sin. But you see, He had to not only die, but He had to shed His blood. You see, forgiveness of sins is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1:7 says, "Then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So Christ, you know, Christ died, yes. He died so that we could live, yes. And now we celebrate, we come together and we remember this time, this Lord's Supper, as a time of remembrance so that we can remember what He has done for us, but not only what He's done for us, but also what He's going to do for us when He returns one day. And that day could be today. In Romans 5:9, it says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He paid it all. A time of remembrance, yes. But let me give you another thing here. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is to be a time of examination. A time of examination. Here, look there in verse 28 through 30. Verse 28, the Bible says here, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So you see here that the Lord's Supper is not only a time of remembering, but it's also a time where we need to examine ourselves. Okay, he says, let a man examine himself. That's what the Lord's Supper is to do. We are to look within. Before we partake in this Lord's Supper, we need to look within. We need to examine ourselves thoroughly and be clean of any sin. Lord, is there any sin in my life? Is there any sin you knowingly are in? We need to confess that. We need to forsake that. We need to ask ourselves this. Am I walking obedient to God's Word? Am I walking obedient to God's Word? How do I know that? Well, in John 14, 15, the Bible says, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So we can do a little self-test here. Do I love Jesus? Do I keep His commandments? Which ones? All of them. The whole book. You got to obey the whole book. If you love Jesus, like as I mentioned earlier, if you love Jesus, you got salvation. And if you truly love Him, salvation should settle all those matters. Do you love Him? Do you keep His commandments? Hey, here's another thing that we can struggle with. Bitterness and hard feelings and unforgiveness in our heart. Right? We know that bitterness can creep up. They call it a root of bitterness. It can be just down in that heart, just hanging out there. Okay, but that's one thing that might just you might not be aware of all the time. But then lo and behold, you hear somebody's name mentioned and you're like, whoa, that root just sprung a whole big old trunk, didn't it? Okay, we got to search ourselves. Is there any sin in our life? Is there bitterness we're hiding in our heart? Is there unforgiveness in our heart? Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." You see, we want forgiveness. Forgiveness is great, isn't it? We want forgiveness from God, right? Whenever I sin, I want forgiveness of God. But sometimes it's hard to give forgiveness for other people around us. Sometimes it's hard for us to forgive the brethren. Why is that? Why is that? Christ forgave us all. Christ forgave us for way more than we could ever need to forgive anybody for. But why is it so hard, right? That pride, right? That pride in our heart, that bitterness in our heart, it creeps in. And what is my point in all this? My point is we need to examine ourselves. You don't need to examine your neighbor or your spouse or your friend, or you need to examine yourself. Hold your place here, but turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Give you a couple of verses here to look at. And with the thought here that the Lord's Supper is not only a time of remembrance, but it's also a time of examination. We need to be examining our heart. Okay? In Psalm 139, look at verses 23 and 24. So you say, what does it look like to examine my heart? Right here. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God." That should be our prayer. Search me, O God. Is that our prayer? Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Hey, you know my heart already. You know my thoughts. You know everything I think before I'm going to think it. You know everything I'm going to speak before I speak it. Amen. But God, search me. Okay, a time of self-examination. Search me. Verse 24 says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Hey, search me, Lord, and see, is there anything in my heart? Is there any root of bitterness that I'm not even aware of? Is there any sin in my life that I'm not even aware of? And if there is, you know what we need to do? Confess it and forsake it. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 51, here David had sinned with Bathsheba, and he was going through a hard time here in Psalm 51, but he's getting right with the Lord. And in Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Think about that.
When your prayer is to search me, O God, and your prayer is to forgive me of my sin, dear Lord, and you're walking with the Lord, you can have this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me."
Have you ever had sin in your life? You know you had sin in your life, and it's bogging you down, and it's wearing you down, and you haven't you held on to it instead of forsaking it, but you've held on to it, and it's just like beating you up day after day after day, and then finally you get right, you get a clean heart, and it's just like that burden's been rolled away, right? That burden's been rolled away, like, renew a right spirit in me. Hey, I have new fellowship with the Lord. I have sweet fellowship again with the Lord. I have that sweet walk. Hey, point is this, we just need to be examining our walk with the Lord. We need to be examining our relationship with the Lord. We need to be confessing our sin. Hey, am I living in sin? Be ready. When you pray that prayer, friends, you better be ready for Him to show you. Right? If you pray that prayer and He shows you the sin, you better be ready to forgive or seek forgiveness from it. Right? Don't leave here with that sin. Right? Don't carry it home with you. Right? Forsake it. Here's another thing we do too. We like to make excuses, don't we? Right? We know there's a sin. Well, that's just my little sin. It's nobody else's. It's just mine. I'll hold on to it. Right? No, it's not the way it goes. Right? Or we'll make excuses about it. And, well, sin is sin, right? If God calls it sin, we need to confess it, forsake it. Why? Because if you take the Lord's Supper unworthily, as he's talking about here, he says you're guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ in verse 27. He says here, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29, he says it again. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." So we need to know what this unworthily means, okay? Let me give you a couple thoughts on that. That unworthily that we're talking about here means that we're not to partake of the Lord's Supper in an improper manner or an improper way. But with that said, none of us are worthy to come before the Lord anyway. Where none of us are worthy on our own self-righteousness or on our own good works. We're not worthy in that aspect. None of us are. But he's talking about here, we're not to partake of it in an unworthy manner. So let me give you a couple thoughts on that. Number one, we're not to eat or drink with unconfessed sin in our lives, right? Kind of things I've been mentioning already. Right? If we're going to take of the Lord's Supper unworthily, would be if we have unconfessed sin in our hearts. We know we're to confess our sins and forsake them. Examine ourselves. Repent of our sin. Right? We have no righteousness of our own. We need His righteousness. And so whenever we acknowledge our sin, we confess our sin, we get forgiveness of our sin, and we get His righteousness. And we can partake in the Lord's Supper worthily. Another reason for unworthily here would mean if we come to the Lord's table and we take this lightly without proper consideration of what it is. Right? If we just come nonchalantly, or if we just come with having other cares going on in the world, right? We come here and all we're thinking about is work. We come to the Lord's table and all we're thinking about is school. We come to the Lord's table and all we're thinking about is our vacation that we're going on. Or whatever else we got going on throughout the week, we come before the Lord to take the Lord's Supper. We haven't examined ourselves. Our minds are on everything else. We're not remembering the price, what He did. In verse 28 there, He says, "But let a man examine himself." And then get this, He says, "So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." See, that part of examining ourselves is not so that we don't eat of the cup, drink of the cup and eat of the bread. It's not so we don't do that. It's so that we can examine ourselves of any sin, get it right, and then partake. Okay, that's the point there, right? In verse 28 there, he says himself, we're not to examine others, not to examine people down the pew. But now, here's the thing with that. We're very good at that, aren't we? We can tell you everybody else's problem without our looking at our own problem. Right? Amen. Hey, if you would, turn over to Luke chapter 6. I'll read you a couple of verses here. We're good at analyzing others. We're good at looking at others and saying exactly what they need to do without looking at ourselves. And the Bible talks about this here in Luke chapter 6 in verses 41 and 42. Luke 6:41 says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the what? The beam that is in thine own eye." All right. In 42 he says, "Either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" He says, "Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." Right? And so what he's talking about here is that person that could just nitpick every little thing about somebody, but yet they don't realize that they have a big old beam in their eye. Okay? So whatever is in a person's eye causes eye trouble, doesn't it? Causes us to not be able to see. Now it seems like there's these pollen specks of pollen in my eye, right? And so I'm like trying to see, right? But even those little tiny specks of pollen affect my eyes, affect your eyes, right? And so he's talking about here, hey, you need to get that beam out of your eye to see clearly, okay? But the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. It's a time of examination. And it's a time to draw us closer to Him. It is a privilege to come before Him. All right? We need to examine ourselves. Make sure there's no motes. Make sure there's no beams in our eye. Right? It is a privilege to come before Him. But not until we examine and confess our sins. You see, the Corinthian church here that Paul was writing to, they were so out of line and they were so much in sin that God had to act in a severe way. And he tells them here that some of them are sick for this very reason. They didn't examine themselves. They didn't confess their sins. They're living in sin. And he tells them here in verse 30 through 32, he says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." You see, there must be a time of remembrance. There must be a time of examination. And let me give you the last thing here. There must be a proclamation. A proclamation. Okay? What does that mean? Let me show you here. In verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11:26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You get that? Proclamation. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. A proclamation. I'm declaring the return of Jesus Christ. He could come today, right this very second, this very next moment, the rapture could take place. And those that are born again are going up. And those that aren't born again are staying behind. But hey, that is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And the Lord's Supper is not only a backward look at what He did for us, but it's also a forward look to reflect and to proclaim the very fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again. The cross wasn't the end. Yet the tomb was empty, right? That is our hope that He's coming back. In Titus 2:13, the Bible says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Hey, that is our Christian hope that He's coming back. He said He would. In John chapter 14, He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," what does He say? "I will return." He said, "I will return. I will return. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Hey, He's coming back. That's a proclamation.
That is a statement. That is going to happen. It could happen right now. And as we remember what He did for us, we're also looking forward to that day when He does come back. We're looking forward to that day where we do sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how often to partake in the Lord's Supper, but we are to partake of it within the church. It is a church ordinance. It's not something that we can go to the hospital and give you the Lord's Supper. It's not something we can do at your house, right? However long or however often the church does it, it is to be done until Jesus returns. Until He returns, that is our hope. That is our proclamation. If you would, flip over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and we'll pick this up here, verse 29. I want you to see this here. Talking about a proclamation, our hope, the return of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 29, I want you to see here, but it says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine." There it is, fruit of the vine, not wine. Fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you, where? In my Father's kingdom. Amen. That could happen today. It could happen this very moment. We could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving an account of our lives. That is our proclamation. That's a glorious promise, but you got to be born again. You got to be saved. You got to have trusted Jesus Christ in order to sit down with Jesus Christ at the great marriage feast of the Lamb. Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall He also appear with Him in glory." 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Well, what a beautiful day that's going to be when Jesus I shall see. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. No more of this flesh. No more of this sin. No more of this dealing with these things of the world and dealing with the devil. Right? We can just sit down at the marriage feast with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. So I'll conclude here. The meaning of the Lord's Supper. It's actually pretty simple when you get down into the Bible and you read what the Bible says. The broken bread pictures the body of Jesus Christ, broken for us. The cup, the fruit of the vine, pictures the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the remissions of sin. Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord's Supper. 1 John 2:2. "And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The Lord's Supper is a continuous reminder. It is a continual reminder that we are to do until the Lord Jesus comes back. We need that constant reminder of what He did for us, how He died for us. This do in remembrance of me. So as we prepare here to take the Lord's Supper, let us remember His sacrifice. All right? Let us remember His sacrifice. We need to examine our hearts. And we need to proclaim His return. And somebody need to be saved here today? In just a moment, we'll have our invitation. You can be saved here today. But many Christians here today, hey, are we living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we living our life as a time of remembrance? Are we living a life where we're constantly examining ourselves and examining our work, our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Keep that in mind. Let's prepare our hearts now to partake in the Lord's Supper. Let's pray.